Business Brain, episode 538 for Casual Friday, April 5th, Walk to Work Day, 2024. Welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take a few ideas, concepts, thoughts, we dissect them, we analyze them, we use them to tune our business brains so that every time we get together is valuable time together. A sponsor for this episode is Shannon's upcoming Escaping Employment book at escapingemployment.com. He'll tell you more about that in the episode. Here for now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
I jumped in and stepped on Dave. It's only 10 years. I'm still working on this stuff. I'm still out here in Lafayette, California. I'm Shannon Jean, and happy Casual Friday.
Happy Casual Friday. I figured this would be a good day to talk about Cheech and Chong.
Oh, you can't get any more casual than that, dude.
You know, it sounds, that is their image, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I understand. But they are businessmen, yes?
Correct. I saw, while I was at South by Southwest, I saw the world premiere of Cheech and Chong's last movie.
Oh.
Yep. They were there. They did a Q&A after the film. They showed up in this big, like, Cadillac that was smoking and had a...
Of course.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right. All That's the things. Cool. And the movie is a documentary about them and their career and their relationship and all of that stuff. Right. So it was an interesting thing. The way they started out, Tommy Chong was a musician, and I've actually met his daughter. His daughter winds up in New Hampshire. She's come to see some of the shows, the theater shows that I've done. But he realized that, you know, touring, and I'm oversimplifying it here, but, you know, touring with a band was a lot more of a logistical headache than it was touring as a comedy duo, because as a comedy duo, you only need two people and that's it. And so there were more of them. They really started as a kind of a clone of another comedy troupe, and there were more of them, and they, one by one, people sort of left, and then there were two. And so they started just doing their thing, but they weren't doing the style of comedy that we know them for.
Okay.
Until one night when they had written some weed jokes about cannabis and, you know, all of that stuff.
Sure.
And they told them, and they got huge laughs. And they said in the movie, they're like, you know, we're comedians. Most comedians at that time, and I think also at this time, it's not, I don't want to say most comedians, but it's not uncommon, like it is amongst musicians, to find people smoking cannabis. Like if you're going to be a musician and hang out with musicians, whether you choose to or not, you just know that
you're going
to
be around.
It's going to be, it's going to be there. And the same is true in the comedy world, according to them and others, but certainly according to them. But they said, you know, we weren't smoking any more weed than anybody else was. We just were telling jokes about it. But also,
interesting,
we weren't high on stage, and nobody else was either. He's like, you know, we would go do our job, and then afterwards, that's when we would enjoy
characters they played.
But they found this just became their niche. And obviously, like, then they said, we never had any idea that it was going to grow into this thing that it, I mean, this is, you know, beyond anyone's wildest dreams that this comedy duo that started talking about weed would become this brand. Yeah, right. And it really,
I just saw an ad for the Cheech and Chong gummies.
Yeah.
Up on online. That
I love that. I like CBD a lot. I wound up having it prescribed for me years ago.
Yeah.
The Cheech and Chong CBD gummies, which they don't make anymore, but maybe after they hear this episode, they will.
Yeah,
they don't make the pure CBD gummies anymore. They had these CBD nano gummies that I loved those. They were some of the best formulated CBD gummies that I ever found.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they stopped making them, I guess, like, you know, because they weren't selling.
Yeah.
And so now they sell the ones that are like a blend of CBD and THC and, you know, all the other stuff. But it was really interesting. And the movie has some great business lessons because they made some bad decisions, as often happens early in a career where it is, at least back in those days, you couldn't really self-promote and make it like you can now. Not that that's easy, but it's certainly more possible now because you can be your own distribution now.
Yeah, you'd be a creator.
Yeah, but like we are here, you know, like back then, they, especially when they did their first movie, it wasn't even their idea to do the movie. And they didn't get very much from the movie at all, even though the movie was earning millions, you know. And so there's good business lessons in this movie. In fact,
is it going to be streaming somewhere? What are they?
I would imagine so. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see who, if anybody picked it up yet.
Right.
I don't see any distribution partners listed on the South by Southwest page for it, but that doesn't mean anything at this point, especially a month later. They're Cheech and Chong. There's no doubt in my mind that they already had distribution for this movie before they started producing it. Yeah. Keep an eye out. It's called Cheech and Chong's last movie, but really fascinating story. And I would call this a business story movie more than anything else. I mean, if you're a fan of Cheech and Chong because of their work, you will find interesting moments or whatever, I would presume. But it's a story about two guys that created a business together.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome.
Against all odds, kind of.
Yeah, which is terrific.
You know, a typical story. But
it's good stuff, man.
But it was good. It was really, and the part that blew me away was the weed thing was just almost an accident. Almost,
that's really cool.
You know,
and I love the alter ego thing, right? We're playing characters. We don't walk around with our smoke coming out of our car,
right? You know, every day. They do when they're in the public eye. Yeah,
you got it.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I love it.
That was cool.
I love it.
Yeah. You want to tell us about Escaping Employment again?
Yeah, Charlie? Let me talk about this. My upcoming book, Escaping Employment. It's basically the story of my life, but broken down into lessons, things that I've learned based from not working for anybody ever. And, you know, we always joke around the show here that we are patently unemployable.
Yep.
That's certainly true in my case. But I break it down into just lessons that I learned along the way, you know, great successes that I've had and also terrific failures that I've had that have taught me a lot. This will be my fourth book. And the concept is just to show you how it can be done and at different stages. If you're just getting started, like out of school, you don't want to work for anybody. I talk about that a lot. Or if you're an aspirational corporate person that wants to go out and start a business, I talk about, you know, all different ways to do it and things that worked for me. If you go to escapingemployment.com, you can get on the wait list for the book, and you also get a free chapter when you enter your email address. And I'd love to get your feedback, and we'll keep you posted on how it goes. It's going to get published this year.
Amazing. Escapingemployment.com, folks. Go there now. Sign up on Shannon's wait list, and you'll get extra stuff along the way. Follow the journey.
You got it.
You mentioned a different kind of leverage to me, Shannon.
Yeah, I love the concept of leverage. You know,
of course.
And when you talk to people, it's really important in business. And there's so many different types of leverage. And like people think of the common ones, like, oh, I leverage with real estate. And, you know, as I build up equity, I leverage it somewhere else. Or I leverage debt. I borrowed a bunch of money, got an SBA loan, and that leverage. I think that the greatest leverage in the world is right at your fingertips, and it doesn't cost you a dime. And I'm a perfect example of how I've used it to leverage not a great skill set, especially when I first started.
Right.
Not an expert at anything. And not that, I mean, I'm a hard worker, but yeah, you know, I mean, I'd like to cut corners and not really kill myself.
Yeah.
And so what I'll talk about, my thesis is that the most potent form of leveraging, it's made up of three things.
Okay.
It's made up of optimism, having that positive attitude
all the time. Persistent optimism.
Yeah. Just, you can't stop it.
Okay.
Being able to smile often, even in the face of adversity. That quick smile, it's a big deal, and I'll tell you why. And then maybe the most important part of this trifecta here is having the ability to lift other people up and help them.
Yes.
Right? Those three things. And I broke this down on a post on X. You can find me, just search for Shannon Jean, or we'll put it in the show notes too. And so the first one is pretty, it seems so basic, you know, is your attitude and being an optimist. And I will tell you that I know it comes very natural to me, and I'm just used to it after all these years.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes. It takes effort and you got to work at it. But when you're the positive person in any relationship, whether it's your business, a group, a peer group,
people
whatever it is.
People want to be around. Well, yeah. People want to be around you. But if you're the negative person, people want to distance from you.
Correct. Yeah. When you're positive and you can have that framework, of course, things go wrong. But you can also, we were just talking on the Wednesday show about the things I learned losing $1 million.
Yeah, right.
Well, I make that into a positive story now because that's just my
persistent optimism.
Correct.
Yes.
It brings you better friends, better employees, better customers, better suppliers. It just naturally attracts a for lack of a better phrase,
higher caliber.
Yeah, higher caliber. I was going to say higher quality, but you know, that's kind of subjective, but, and you can learn it, you know.
This is a teachable, learnable skill. It really just takes one decision that you're going to do this and commit to it. And, you'll miss it sometimes. But because I'm the same way. Like, as you were going through these first one, yeah, I do that. Okay. Smile in the face of adversity. Oh my gosh. Like that's who I've been all the way through. I had to learn not all the way through, but I had to learn that like as a teenager, really.
Yeah.
And then the ability, and I would say, and willingness to lift other people up, that I only really learned in the last, I'll say 10 years. And boy, howdy.
Oh man.
It's huge, right? Yeah. And I've always wanted to help people like that. And I think that was enough of this to keep me, you know, moderately successful, right? My willingness, my interest, my eagerness in helping people fix things, right? You know, to do things, whatever. Like you've got a problem, I'm going to help you with it. But that's not the same as lifting other people up. And as soon as I started to lift other people up, it was like,
it comes back to you exponentially.
It's exponential.
Yeah. It is. And so like this is learnable, but it's also like Dave said, you do have to be active with it. It needs to be front of mind.
Yes. And, you're like, going to do this.
And that's if you may have to write down notes like, you know, Dave and I use these quartet things that go in between our keyboard and our monitor. And it's like a piece of glass and you write notes on it.
Oh, I love the quartet pad.
So do I. Yeah. I often write, you know, positive messages to myself. One of the most powerful ways to become an optimist or to trick your brain to think more optimistic is to replace a couple of words. Replace the word have with get. So instead of I have to go here, you get to go. Instead of I have to get up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. to catch a flight, it's like I get to get up at 5 a.m., man. It's beautiful in the morning.
Yep.
The sun's coming up, whatever it is. So, I can say it sounds easy, but try it for a while. Replace have to with get to and just think
about
it.
I like these brain hacks.
It works. Write it down. Put it on a piece of paper.
Get to. It's interesting because on Friday I was in LA. I was flying back that afternoon last Friday from Podcast Movement, and we always record Mac Geek Gab. Our sort of standing time slot is Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and I looked at my calendar and I'm like, you know, I am going to be available at 9 a.m. Eastern time on Friday, and I'm also flying back that day. But I'm not flying back. Like, my flight wasn't until 1 o'clock. I'm like, well, we're going to be done with the show. My flight wasn't until 4 p.m. Eastern. So I started reframing this day in my head. Yeah. It was like, okay, well, I'm going to end the day on Eastern time because I'm going to be home. So why not just start my day on Eastern time?
Sure.
Now, I didn't end the prior day on Eastern time. So I got about 4 hours of sleep, mind you, before we did the show. I have video evidence that I did the show. I have no real memory of doing the show, but that's okay. It's fine. Yeah, my co-host, I did a lot of prep and my co-host shouldered the load. And so it was great. Yeah. But I was like, at first looking at this, 2 weeks out, it was like, oh man, that's going to hurt.
I would think the same thing.
But yeah. Once I said, no, this makes sense, let's just do it. Once I got into that frame, and really even once I got to California and I set up my podcasting setup there, and I'm excited about this new app that I'm using to mix things, Sounddesk for the Mac. It's amazing. I got excited. I'm like, oh, we get to record the show remotely. I have this cool setup that I really like. Like, all of those things. It was like, I woke up and I was kind of bleary eyed and like, whoa, all right, yep, this is harder than I thought, but we're doing it. So here we are. But other than the, kind of obvious issues, I was positive, even with the obvious issues. I was like, I'm going to make this work. Like, yeah, I got a story to tell and I get to do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
And language is a real important part of this.
I agree.
And reframing language. And I'll give you a good example. Years ago, if you like the artist Beck, which I like a lot.
You've told this story.
He has a song that's called Loser. And in that song, there are three words. The first word I'm not going to say because I can't let myself think this way. It's something a loser. And, it has the word I am as part of that phrase. And I don't think that way. So when I sing that song, I replace the word, I'm with your.
Yep.
I always think, I sing that song, you're a loser, baby. Not, I can't think the other way. It's my inner judge has been so fine-tuned over, 30 years of thinking this way that I just replace the words. Another powerful word that I use all the time is yet.
Yes. Adding yet to the end of a negative thought or I
don't know how to
do this. That.
I don't know how to do that. Yet.
That's
because I'm going to learn how to do it, or I'm not good at that
yet.
Yet you will get better. So these are tricks, but these words are really powerful. You may have to say them to yourself thousands of times.
Oh, sure,
but eventually it just becomes natural, and
it becomes automatic.
Automatic,
like any other habit.
Like any other habit, and it starts picking up people around you. And you're hanging out with more positive people because you have more in common with them because you speak a similar language.
Yes.
You smile more, which is very basic, but you really should do it because everybody is attracted to a big smile.
Oh, there's like there's like endorphins that get released when you smile. It's a physical hack.
And so this last piece of this massive leverage that I've used my whole life is lifting up other people. You want to be the positive one in the group, especially when someone's telling you something they're dreaming about, like, I really want this, or I'm going to try this new thing, I'm going to start a business. You want to be the one that's like, that's incredible. I love hearing that. How can I help you?
If
you
go to cheer someone else on, and it pays dividends.
Yeah. And most people don't do it.
That's why it pays dividends. It's also cost nothing to say please and thank you.
Yeah,
and yet I would say that pays even more dividends than raising other people up. Like,
you got it.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah. So these three things, and I'm the walking example of how, because I did not have much. We started with nothing.
Yeah.
Built things up over time. Built relationships. My whole success and building wealth has all been about people's relationship with me, all of it.
Yes.
And these three things, helping them, smiling all the time, quick with a laugh, being an optimist, that it overcomes so many obstacles. And
well, at least opens, it doesn't change what's possible versus what's not possible. What it does is it allows you to experience whether or not something is actually possible.
Well, I'm a believer. I firmly believe that reality is flexible.
Well, that's it.
And
so
that's what it does, is you're kind of pushing and you're also.
Well, I think reality is flexible in the negative. There are things that you can, like, there is the finite result of like the best outcome is always there. Okay, but if you convince yourself that the best outcome for you is 20 notches down from that, then you are correct. You have molded your reality.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
That's that old phrase, whether you think you can or think you can't.
You're right.
You're right. Yeah,
exactly. Same kind of concept. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, if I say, I know that if I, you know, jump off of my deck, I'm going to land on the moon. Like I'm pretty sure there's a physical reality that, prevents that from coming to fruition. Right.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
But you know, beyond accepting that there are certain limitations of the world, find out what they are. Don't just assume.
Push
and push.
And widen your, you know, like, you know, they say to, if you want to be stable, you got to kind of, you got to widen your stance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be lucky, you need to have like a big net. And
you catch more
very
things.
Wide and stuff comes towards you.
Yes.
These three things are one of the ways that you make that net wider, because if somebody's thinking about an opportunity they want to give to someone, and the choice is between some
curmudgeon,
grumpy curmudgeon, negative, and Shannon, who's happy, optimistic, super helpful, how can I help is my mantra. I know where it's coming. It's coming to me.
Listen,
I've
here,
done it over and over and over.
Here's a thing, and I think perhaps by osmosis, this is how I learned to, you know, help lift other people up, is by hanging out with you. We talk every week, and I know that the curmudgeons, they're not my competition for the world's resources. Because the resources, if it's me versus the curmudgeons, the resources come to me. It's just how it is. I win every time.
Right.
Not every time, but you know, 80% of the time, more than I need to.
Yeah.
You are my competition in the world.
Ah.
Well, right? Because you're the same way. The good things come to you. Now, this isn't an accident, but I want the good things to come to me. So I gotta outdo you. And you got to outdo me, like where, you know.
And the pie is plenty big.
It's plenty
big. We all have our niche.
Yes.
I had a great call today with a guy that's in the hotel business that he was talking the same language about doing this and upgrading, helping out people this and that. And I could just see it. And I was like, man, you are on your way to the moon. You're going to be so successful.
It's awesome.
Because those traits that, you know,
they're attractive.
Miss. Yeah. And that's not to mitigate that there are bad days and there are bad things that happen to all of us.
You still got to do the work.
You have to do the work. And sometimes you have to have that alter ego that shifts into, you know, when I lost $1 million, I still had to go to work the next day and motivate my employees and find new suppliers and attract customers. And if
than the day before.
Yeah, more than the before. So if that weight that was pushing down on me, I mean, I can remember, you know, we used to throw these huge Halloween parties, and I found out about this problem, we'll call it, the day we were having this huge party.
Of course you did.
And that night, I was like in my head, and I had all these people. We used to invite hundreds and hundreds, suppliers, customers who would come to this massive party, and I was walking around there going, how do I, you know, I got to have a great time. I got to make sure my guests all have a great time. And I learned a lot about compartmentalizing.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah. Out of necessity. So,
yeah.
But I would love to hear how you've used this, or, you know, if you think I'm oversimplifying it, which of course I probably am.
Of course you are. Yes.
You know, feedback@businessbrain.show. We want to talk about your methods for success as well, so we can grow our business brain together. Give us some information. Talk about your business. Tell us you want to come on the show and
iterate.
It's a good
iterate thing. With us. Like we're all tuning these. Like you said, we're tuning our business brains together. So feedback@businessbrain.show. You can text us 567-274-6977. All that's at businessbrain.show. Keep living that charmed life. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Later.